Hi, this is Scott Stanley from DTG Ministries, Exploring the Deep Things of God, doing a weekly podcast keying on the book of Revelation. If we can explore the deep things of God in the book of Revelation, and the book of Revelation is full of the deep things of God, I decided to do a weekly podcast to maybe relax, just sit back and speak about some things, talk about some things that I want to talk about. Revelation is full of concepts that I never hear Bible teachers even touch on. So here we go. You know, I want to offer, I want to suggest some things that I am seeing in the book of Revelation, things I believe the Lord is opening up to me. And if I could just lay these out and help another person get a handle on their salvation, that's really what it's all about. We want to experience the salvation of God through Jesus Christ. So Revelation just kind of gives me a platform to do that. I don't know how simple this is going to be as we get into these things, because I feel like I'm at the end of the world. I think everybody feels like they're at the end of the world. And I believe the Lord has given me some insight concerning the end of the world and concerning His church. Maybe for some people this would be offensive. Maybe it won't. Maybe for some people this will be exciting. And as you hear these concepts and read them confirmed in the Scripture, there'll be an excitement happen to you. And you'll want to continue in these thoughts, continue digging out the truth as it is in Christ. I want to just be, kick back in my chair, talking to you as if you're just across my desk from me. And hopefully you will have your Bible opened, and instead of being offended by what I'm saying, maybe you'll take the time to look it up in the Scripture yourself. If I'm wrong, you need to notify me. You need to tell me, hey, you're wrong. If I'm right, then we need to come together in harmony as one, because we're working toward the same goal, salvation. We're working to the same goal of determining the truth and allowing God to have His way in our hearts. I don't know of another thing I would rather do than teach the Scriptures. And I don't know of another subject I would rather teach than the book of Revelation. When we talk about discussing the book of Revelation and reading the verses in it, those verses link us through the whole Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. We will see these concepts played out. We will see them spelled out by God. We will see them portrayed throughout the Bible. And because of that, we can be assured that what we're believing is true. But what you're going to hear in this podcast would be offensive to the majority of the denominational churches, because they have not kept up with present truth. What I hear in these churches today is basically the same thing they've taught for 150 years. It's like there's no growth. They don't come to an in-depth understanding of the prophecies. Because what we're reading in the book of Revelation is a prophecy given by God through Jesus Christ, but not just Jesus Christ. It's through the risen Savior. Revelation is the only prophecy given by God through the risen Savior. Think about that. It's the only one God gave through the risen Savior. The priest, the high priest. Remember the prophecy in Zechariah chapter 6? In Zechariah 6, I want to start reading at verse 12. "And speak unto him, saying, Thus speaketh Jehovah of hosts, saying, Behold, the man whose name is the branch. He shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord." That's speaking of Christ, the branch. But let's keep reading this. Verse 13, "Even he shall build the temple of Jehovah, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon his throne, and he shall be a priest upon his throne." So here you have Jesus as a man, and Jesus having been raised from the dead. Read it carefully. Because in one part, he is the branch. In the second part, he is a priest upon his throne. Remember Psalms 110 verse 1. "Jehovah said to my Lord," my Lord is Christ, "sit thou at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Drop on down, you're a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek." That took place after his death. So, Zechariah 6, we have the branch, and we have a priest upon his throne. And in verse 13, the end of it, "The counsel of peace shall be between the two of them." Now already, maybe for some people, we're getting deep. Maybe that's too much for you, but you've got a week to listen to it and understand it before I'm going to put out another study. I beg you to let the Lord give us, let him bring us the truth as it is in Jesus Christ. And let's open our heart to receive the knowledge of God through his Son. The counsel of peace is between the two of them, the branch and the priest. And in Revelation, that's the revelation of God which he gave to Jesus. Well, Jesus had been raised from the dead. He was already the priest. Now, I'm quoting from Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. Let me just read that, and you can tie that in to Zechariah 6 if you want. But really just let that settle in your heart. He was the branch. He became the priest. Revelation 1:1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show his servants things which must quickly come to be. Now, the things we're going to read in Revelation, when they begin, they happen fast. When they begin, they happen through a person's lifetime, shorter than just their lifetime, during their lifetime. It may take 20, 30, 40 years or more, but it will happen in their lifetime. These things will quickly come to be. So he sent and signified it through his messenger unto his servant John. That verse right there has caused people to stumble. How do we read this? Let me read this again and just kind of put some definition to Revelation 1:1. This is the revelation about Jesus. It's a revelation of Christ. God gave to Christ to show his servants things which must quickly happen. And he, God, sent and signified it through his messenger unto John. Who's the messenger? He just said it's Jesus Christ. How do I know that that's accurate? Because when I read what John wrote, if you're looking at John, or Revelation chapter 1, and just look at verse 10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and last. What you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches. 12, verse 12. I turned to see the voice. Being turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, girt about the paps with a golden girdle, and we know that that's the risen Savior. That's the priest. He's dressed as a priest, and we know it's Jesus. So, back to verse 1, it was Jesus who came to John. Let's read verse 1 again. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to Jesus to show unto his servants, which must quickly happen. And he, God, sent and signified it through his messenger unto John. Well, the messenger unto John in Revelation 1 is Christ. Can you think of a single time that Jesus was referred to as an angel? The word angel just simply means messenger. Well, I want to read a verse, Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. This is John the Baptist. Matthew 11:10 says this is John the Baptist. Behold, I will send my messenger, my angel, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek, this is Jesus, shall suddenly come to his temple, even the angel, the messenger of the covenant, whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith Jehovah of hosts. Here he's talking about Christ, and he's referring to him as the messenger or the angel. See, one thing that will help us understand what we're reading, especially in Revelation, is that the word messenger or angel is not some heavenly creature with blonde hair and white wings. It simply is a messenger. And we're going to discover as we go through Revelation the way this word messenger or angel is used. And you will be surprised, maybe, to see how this comes together for you. Now, what does it mean to us in Revelation 1:1 that he sent and signified it through his messenger unto John, from Christ to John? The Father sent it and signified it. What does that even mean? Well, if you look at this word signified, it looks like signified, through signs. This was given to Christ through signs. What do we mean by that? Well, I want to read something from the Gospel of John, chapter 6. Now, why? Well, John was used, inspired by God, to write the prophecies of Revelation. Well, he also wrote the Gospel of John. And in the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 2, a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. That word miracle, is the Strong's number for that is 4592. That is significant because in Revelation 1:1, signified is 4591. 4592, that they've translated miracle, is neuter of a presumed derivative of 4591. 4591 is signified in Revelation 1:1. So, why would John, in chapter 6, why would he use that word? Well, the King James translated it miracle. But it was a sign. When Jesus would heal people, it was a sign. What do you mean it's a sign? Well, if he would heal a man from physical, literal blindness, if he had the power to heal the blind, raise the dead, heal withered arms, if he could do that, that was a sign that he could heal your spiritual darkness. If he can give sight to your eyes, he can give sight to your spiritual understanding. So, it's the word sign, King James put miracle. But it's a sign. So when you look at Revelation 1:1, he signified this book, or signified it. These are signs in the book of Revelation. And personally, I think this is why many people have not been able to understand Revelation. You know, I've been to many Revelation studies, and a lot of the times they basically just read the verses of Revelation. They don't really know what it means. In fact, they'll even be the first to tell you that they don't know what it means. Interesting to me. But if you realize it is in signs, and it is giving you spiritual application. Now, when I say spiritual, do I mean it isn't real? Absolutely not. What you're reading in Revelation is actual. It will actually happen. But it is written spiritually so that you can understand basically what is going on inside your own heart. God did this. God signified this to give to Jesus, to give to John, to give to us. And if you can apply that concept of spiritual meanings, you're going to get a lot further in understanding this book. Just for the heck of it, I want to read something to you from Hosea 12, and it's verse 10. It says, I have also spoken by the prophets, and I have multiplied visions and used similitudes by the ministry of the prophets. Well, there's similitude. So what's a similitude? It's a likeness. In a sense, it's like a sign. It's like a parable. It's a likeness, a similitude. This is similar to that. It's a similitude. So again, for Christ to heal your literal blindness, it is a likeness of him healing your spiritual blindness. See, it's a symbol. It's a spiritual truth. And if we can just come to grips with this, then when we come to these parts in Revelation where a great red dragon is in the heavens, a woman is clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, see, you're not trying to read that literally, because it has been signified by God the Father. And he will give us the meaning of it in Scripture. That's why I'm telling you, from Genesis to Revelation, it all comes together. The Bible will define the symbols being used in the book of Revelation. And we no longer have to be confused. I know sometimes when I share things like this, people get upset. They don't want to let go of this, the literal meanings that they have devised on their own. See, just bear with me. If these prophecies in Revelation, really anywhere, if they are signified, then you cannot put your own definition to it. God has to be the one to define it. He is the one who signified it. So if you're going to read, for instance, the word angel in the book of Revelation, they're going to take that. People will take that literal, you know, blonde hair, blue eyes, white wings, clothed in white, flying around. Say, they will take that literally. But if, because God signified it, it's a messenger, and it can be a human being, it is a human being. And you will see in Revelation where he actually says that. But because he signified it, it's of no private interpretation. It's interesting to me that in 2 Corinthians, Chapter 3, he is talking about the letter of the law versus the spirit of the law. And in verse 6, in 2 Corinthians 3, 6, but who also has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, not the literal, but of the spirit. The letter will kill you. The spirit will give you life. It's that way in the book of Revelation. If you're going to read these things literally, you're not going to find the life in it. If you can read it spiritually, spiritual means of the mind. It's of the mind. If it is of your mind, it will bring light and clarity, peace and grace and salvation to your heart. If you read it literally, you're not going to find that life. You're going to find confusion. And the book of Revelation will be frightening to you instead of a joy and a praise of God. Again, this is the only prophecy given by God through the risen Savior. And I pray that you people want to dig into it and find out exactly what it means. Blessed is he that will read these things, hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is at hand. That's Revelation 1:3. The time is at hand. And these things are going to happen quickly. Shortly, in Revelation 1:1, it must be shortly, it's quickly. Strong's number 5034. These things are going to happen quickly, and it's going to happen in your lifetime. Jesus Christ is going to come in our lifetime. The second coming of Christ will be in our lifetime. You can rest assured that that's going to happen. If that scares you and you want to back away and decide, you know, you don't want to read the Bible and hear these things, you'd rather hear soft things, easy things, and, you know, enjoy your potlucks and so on, then you're going to be offended at this, what you're going to hear in this podcast. And rightly so. You need to be offended. You need to be shaken to the core to get your act together, to know and understand the truth of Jesus Christ and what he revealed about his heavenly Father. To hear and understand what the apostles wrote and to come into harmony with them, that we all might be one in Jesus Christ. That the church, the last generation church, which is us, will get it together and stand before God in love without spot or wrinkle. That's what I want, and I pray you want it too. I pray that there is nothing as important to you as the truth. Nothing is as important as the truth. So going through the book of Revelation, and again, I pray not to make it too difficult, but to give us some solid insight. And I pray that you have an excitement to learn these things and be excited with me, because they're going to happen. It is happening. It's happening in his church. And we're going to bear witness to that and testify to it and help as many people who have ears to hear to come out of that fire and be cleansed and come in control of self and glorify God daily. I know that's what you want if you're truly a Christian, if you're truly serving God. I heard a preacher say one time, a dog will bark, a fish will swim, a cat will meow, and a Christian, he'll clean himself up. He'll clean yourself up, grow in sanctification as the Holy Spirit teaches us and moves us, and be a part of God's church in the last days. It is truly, truly exciting to be in this place.